Welcome to Grace and Glory, the radio ministry of Grace Valley Christian Center, featuring biblical teaching of the Christian faith with Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and former professor of Greek and theology. Pastor Matthew holds degrees from Westminster Theological Seminary, and he pastors Grace Valley Christian Center in Davis, California, adjacent to the University of California at Davis. Today we continue with Pastor Matthew's series on the book of Acts, with part one of a two-part message, Solo Gratia, that is, by grace alone. Today we face a most important question: how can I be saved? The Apostle Paul's glorious answer to this question is this: our salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. And now here's our teacher, Pastor Matthew.
Acts chapter 15. I want to read a few verses from this chapter, from which I want to preach to you sola gratia, by grace alone we are saved. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Now look at verse 5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. This is the problem. And praise God for this church council led by the Spirit of God to settle this question. Do we need something beyond grace to be saved? Something beyond Christ to be saved? Something beyond faith to be saved? The answer is no. Sola, alone. You are saved by Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, plus nothing, plus absolutely nothing. How would you react if a minister declares to you today, unless you are all baptized by me and live the rest of your life as vegetarians, you cannot be saved? Something like this happened to the Gentile Antiochian church. Remember what we have heard from the book of Acts before. In the beginning, the apostles did not believe the Gentiles were to be evangelized. Then Philip was led by the Spirit to take the gospel to the Samaritans. Saint Peter was led by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the household of Cornelius, pure Gentiles. And we read in the 11th chapter of Acts, some Hellenistic Jews were led by the Lord to evangelize the Gentiles of Syrian Antioch. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a thriving Gentile church was formed. And we learned that Barnabas and Saul taught them in the apostolic doctrines. Now, there came some men from Judea, supposed to have been sent by James, who was the leader of that church. And they came to Antioch, to this thriving Gentile church, and disturbed them by their teaching. They began to teach a doctrine that was subversive of the gospel. And who was sitting there? Apostle Paul. He rebelled against this doctrine and sharply disputed with them. He called them false brethren. He called them agitators. He called them mutilators of the flesh. He called them troublemakers. You read Epistle to the Galatians. They were the thought police of the day. Let's turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 2. And let me read to you the way St. Paul addresses them. Galatians 2 verse 4, this matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom. Freedom from the law, freedom from circumcision, freedom from everything else we have in Christ Jesus, and to make us slaves. Now to turn to chapter 5 of Galatians, let me read to you from verse 10. I am confident in the Lord that He will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Verse 12, as for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. And turn with me to chapter 1 and verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. So what is the false doctrine that these people were teaching? And we just read it to you. 15th chapter of Acts, verse 1. You see, they didn't dispute that these Gentiles trusted in Jesus Christ, trusted in the gospel. They didn't dispute that. But they are saying, you are not yet saved. Look at it again, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And look at verse 5. Notice, the Gentiles must. It is absolutely necessary. They, Gentiles, must be circumcised and be required to obey the law of Moses. In other words, they were teaching against these solas. Solo Christo, sola gratia, sola fide, and so on. They are introducing plus. Christ is not sufficient. They taught against the biblical doctrine, which is salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. They were requiring some physical act, circumcision and law keeping, essential to salvation. They taught and they brought confusion among the believers. They spoke against their absolute assurance of salvation, their security in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul did not teach this. Remember, he was together with Barnabas teaching these believers in this first Gentile church. Paul taught, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Same doctrine. Saint Peter taught the household of Cornelius. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That's what Paul taught them. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes. To the question of the Philippian jailer we read about in the 16th chapter, what must I do to be saved? What was his answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Yes. No plus, no addition, no other requirement. Paul did not teach that the Gentiles should be circumcised and keep the law along with their faith in Christ for salvation. He taught that the gospel is the dunamis tutheou, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Now these agitators, these false brethren, this pressure group of the Pharisaic party who prided in their zeal for the law, they were in effect declaring, Paul is a false apostle. He is teaching heresy. That's the implication of the teaching of these agitators. Another implication is faith in Christ alone is not sufficient for salvation. And therefore, what they are saying is this: no Gentile Christian uncircumcised is saved. That's what they were saying. They were saying such a Gentile Christian who is not circumcised is still unclean. They were declaring that no Jewish believer must eat with the Gentile believer who is not circumcised, who is not keeping the whole Mosaic law. They are unclean. They were saying that in the Holy Communion, you cannot, if you are a Jewish Christian, you cannot sit with the Gentile Christian. They are unclean. This is serious doctrinal heresy. According to them, the true teaching is a Gentile must first become a Jew by circumcision and commitment to keep the whole law of Moses, the ceremonial law, the moral law, and the law of the Sabbath and everything else and all the 613 commandments. They called out from the law, you have to keep. A Gentile must first become a Jew by circumcision and commitment to keep the whole law, and then he can become a Christian by believing in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But you cannot just believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. You must go through this step. And Paul opposed this doctrine. What is this doctrine? It is the doctrine of plus. Jesus plus Moses. Faith plus human merit works. Gospel plus the law. Now, why is it St. Paul is so opposed to this minor surgery? That's what it is, isn't it? Minor surgery. No, Paul said it is not a question of minor surgery. He said circumcision stands for salvation by works, salvation by human achievement. It is a denial of the sufficiency of Christ. It is a denial of the gospel. It is the denial of the grace of God. Let me tell you, this is the doctrine of every other religion on the face of the earth. Every other religion teaches a salvation by human merit. The truth is that the law cannot save anybody. Judaizer, you are dumb. You have totally failed to understand the law. You haven't understood that all are sinners. There is no one who is righteous. None can keep the law, therefore, because all are sinners. You arrogant, Judaizing person who glory in your body. And who shows to everybody that I'm circumcised. And he is very proud of it. Well, before there was anti-Semitism, there was anti-Gentilism. There was this horrible racial discrimination that the Gentiles are unclean and are dogs. Don't you understand? The law says, do this and you will be saved. But praise be to God, the gospel says, Christ has done it all. So believe and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus Christ from the cross, he said, tetelestai, it is finished. Christ, God's unique Son, accomplished salvation. The banquet is all ready. You come and receive it by faith. And even that faith is given to you as gift from God. Judaizer, don't you understand why God gave law? It was given because of transgression, St. Paul says, to define sin as sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, sin is not seen as sin. We are told through the law, we become conscious of sin. And St. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:21, the law was not given to impart life. It cannot impart life. It can only condemn you and pronounce you that you are a sinner. You are full of guilt. You need to be punished. That's all. The law was given so that it can convict us and then lead us to Christ, who alone is the Savior. And the Bible says, turn with me to the book of Galatians again, and chapter 3 and verse 10. Here it is. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. You pretend that you are a superior Christian. You say that you are circumcised and you are zealous for the law and you trusted in Christ. So you are a superior Christian, you say. But in fact, the Bible says you are under a curse. You are bound to obey all the law all the time perfectly, which is an absolute impossibility. That's why God sent His Son, who alone fully obeyed the law. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 4. St. Paul tells like this, Christ is the end of the law, so that we may be righteous, that so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And so, Mr. Judaizer, you are not a superior Christian. In fact, the truth is you are absolutely not saved. In addition to the sola principle, is a denial of Christ. Galatians, let's turn to it again. Chapter 5, let me read it from verse 2. And following, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you say that circumcision is essential to salvation, you have denied Jesus Christ. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Mr. Judaizer, you are not saved. You are condemned. You are under a curse. Your sins are not forgiven. You are not justified. We read in the 15th chapter, these two churches came in council to deal with this issue. And the Pharisaic party made the case. Gentiles must be circumcised and be required to obey all the law of Moses. But praise be to God, the Holy Spirit was in charge of this first council. Because we read in the 28th verse, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. In other words, to affirm the sola doctrine. Well, you know, Jesus Christ spoke about the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 13, 14, 15 and 16. And you read 16, the John and 13, the words, we are told that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And so you notice St. Peter standing up. 15th chapter, verse 7, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed the man. See, the Holy Spirit guided Peter, saying, you must stand up and you must now preach. And remember, in effect, he is saying to these people, God already revealed that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. He already revealed it. Remember, 10 years ago, Peter says, let's read it. After much discussion, Peter stood up, addressed them, brothers, you know that some time ago, that is, about 10 years ago, and we preached about in chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the book of Acts, God made a choice among you. You see, in other words, you have to fight with God. God took the initiative to preach the gospel to the Gentiles through me, that they may be saved by simply believing in the gospel without any other precondition. And so listen to it. God made a choice. He made the decision among you. What is the decision? That the Gentiles must hear from my lips message of the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised from the dead. Christ was seen of many. Christ ascended. Christ is seated on the right hand of God the Father. What's the gospel? That everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, Mr. Judaizer, Mr. Pharisee, you have no fight with me, but you have a fight with God. And look at verse 8. God who knows the heart. You see, Mr. Pharisee, you are interested in externalities. You wash your hands very religiously. But remember, Jesus Christ said in the 15th chapter of Matthew, the problem is not with the hands or what you eat. The problem is your rotten heart. Your impure heart, your corrupt heart, your corrupt thought, your corrupt speech, your corrupt decisions. Because of this rottenness and twistedness of the center of human being, which is the heart. And Jesus Christ came to purify the heart. You hypocrites, you think the problem is external. The problem is not external. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only one who knows the depth of our corruption is God. Therefore, He has given us a way of salvation that deals with the depth of our corruption, purifying our heart. So there it is, it says, but God who knows the heart, by which Peter means that God, as he was preaching to the household of Cornelius, God looked into their heart and saw they had faith. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them, that is the Gentiles in Caesarea, by giving the Holy Spirit to them. Let me tell you something. The proof of salvation is not this minor surgery, which you are very proud of, or your baptism, or your being belonging to a denomination. The proof is none of these things. What is the proof? Holy Ghost, sent from heaven into your heart. Heavenly Father, we trust in you and we pray that you pour out your Spirit upon us today, that our hearts may burn in love for you, that we may be led into your truth, that we may trust in your word, that we may repent of our sins and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that we may be comforted and healed of all our sicknesses, that we may with much power live a holy life in this world for your glory. For we pray this in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory with Pastor P.G. Matthew. Please join us next week for part two of Sola Gratia. You can receive a free transcript of today's program or a cassette for $3. You might want to get a pen and write down our address and phone number. If you're interested in one of our recent programs, just call us Monday through Friday from 9 to 4 at 530-756-5255. That's 530-756-5255. Or you can write us at Grace and Glory, 27173 County Road 98, Davis, California 95616. If you write, be sure to include the date and subject of the requested program. We invite you web users out there to log on to our website at www.gracevalley.org. That's www.gracevalley.org. If you have sound capabilities, you can listen to this broadcast on our website. It's available 24 hours a day worldwide. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners, and if you've enjoyed the ministry of Pastor Matthew, come visit us at Grace Valley Christian Center. Sunday worship services are at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., with Sunday school starting at 9 a.m. Wednesday evening Bible studies are held at 7 p.m., and a Bible study for international students is held on Monday evenings at 7. Call for details. Grace Valley Christian Center also offers nursery services, a children's Sunday school program, junior and senior high youth groups, and a college ministry. Visit us this week. We're on Pedrick Road, just south of Russell Boulevard in West Davis. From Sacramento or the Bay Area, take I-80 to Pedrick Road. Travel north on Pedrick Road for 4 miles, and Grace Valley Christian Center is on the right-hand side. We remind you that this is a listener-supported program. The Holy Spirit prompts you to give to this program. We welcome your support. Join us next week at the same time for another segment of Grace and Glory, Biblical Teachings of the Christian Faith with Pastor P.G. Matthew. Don't forget to write, and be sure to tune in next week.